Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of John, 20th chapter, 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried away him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he has said these things to her. So ends the reading of the word of the Lord.
Churches, we can really kind of go all out for Easter, can't we? I mean, we really do it up, don't we? The flowers and the trumpets and the big music and the decoration and all that. My dad's church, they used to rent out the high school football stadium for their Easter Sunday services, and it makes sense because we say, oh, Easter is the Super Bowl of the church year. And there's a church in Canton, Ohio, that had an Easter pageant just a few years ago. And I was going to show you the video. The video quality is very poor, but if you're curious, look for it this afternoon. Search for Easter pageant goes up in flames. And what happens is the moment when Jesus is to come out of the tomb, they had these sparklers rigged up around the tomb door, so it kind of created this circle of fire that kind of lights. And I'm guessing there were no real pyrotechnic guys on the job here at all, because the whole prop just caught on fire, and this is a picture from it. Jesus comes out from the tomb that's in flames, and so the whole time there's this guy all the way over on the right who's singing the song, and amazingly, he keeps singing through the whole thing. And so Jesus emerges there, and he's prancing around the stage and everything. And while all of this is happening, this guy runs up on stage and grabs the flaming tomb door and runs out the side door with it and got second-degree burns in the process. And then a few moments later, a few guys run up on stage with a fire extinguisher. Amazingly, the song keeps going through all of this, through the fire and then the haze from the smoke and the fire extinguisher. And I saw one of the comments on the video, somebody said, well, this Jesus sure knows how to make an entrance. And now I'm guessing if this church was to do this again, that they would bring in a professional pyrotechnic kind of guy in the future. But you can't blame them, though, can you? You can't blame them. Easter is our big day. I mean, you want to do it up big. You want to overwhelm. You don't want people to kind of walk out and say, well, was that all? I was thinking the other day when I was a teenager, there was one summer there was a drought in the 80s, and it was hadn't rained in weeks and weeks, and it was really hot, and things were really dry, and the grass was brown, and so it came time for the 4th of July, and communities were strongly discouraging the use of fireworks at the 4th of July just because everything was so flammable because it was dry. And so we were visiting my aunt and uncle in Kansas City, and in the community they lived in, the community decided they weren't going to have the annual big community fireworks display, but they were going to have a laser light show instead. And so we said, okay, well, that sounds interesting. We'll go to the laser light show. And so we pack up the lawn chairs and the bug spray and all of that. And so we go out into this field, and we're sitting out there. And I don't know what was supposed to be happening. I don't know. And maybe we were just too far away from the main stage or whatever. Maybe it wasn't dark enough or whatever. But we really couldn't see anything. And just maybe a time or two, we saw like kind of laser beam shoot up in the sky. But we just kind of sat there for a while, and then it was over, and we left, and we got up to leave, and we said, was that it? Was that all? And we thought, I don't know what we were expecting, but maybe we were expecting something more. Well, we in churches, we don't want you to go home on Easter and think, well, I was just expecting a little bit more. Jesus rose from the dead. Surely we could summon a little more for that. So we in churches, we kind of go all out about things here. But the thing is, though, even though churches, we do things up big on Easter, Jesus, his resurrection appearances, they're very quiet. The one we read today, Mary Magdalene, comes to the tomb. She finds the tomb empty. She only had confusion over the tomb being empty. I mean, she's thinking to herself, not only is he dead, but they've taken his body away too to somehow add insult to injury to the whole thing. And so she's confused about the whole thing, and she meets Jesus, but she doesn't realize it's Jesus yet. And he asks her why she's crying, and she just kind of assumes he's a worker there at the tomb, a gardener, and she starts blubbering something about, well, if you've taken him away, just let me know where you've taken him, and I'll go take care of him. And then Jesus says her name, Mary. He calls her by name. And then she knows. Then she believes. Then she understands. And then she returns back to the others with the message, I have seen the Lord. Now, all of Jesus' resurrection appearances, they're like this. They're very kind of low key. I mean, he kind of quietly shows up. He shows up at the tomb to restore faith to those who had come expecting only death. He shows up in a room where his followers are gathered to show them that he's alive. He shows up going to the town of Emmaus. He shows up along the road for a conversation. He shows up at the end of John, it says he shows up on the beach after the disciples had been fishing. I mean, Jesus doesn't appear to his followers in the resurrection with a brass band and a laser light show to prove to everyone, guess what, I'm back. No, it's almost quiet, almost unassumingly, he appears to gently bring his followers back to faith. His resurrection appearances are not the Super Bowl parade to adoring crowds proclaiming himself the victor. No, Jesus shows up almost, it's almost like through the back door that he shows up to whisper a word of encouragement to his followers. And while we may in the church do up Easter big and bold, his appearances, they're very quiet. But isn't the word that's spoken in the quiet what's most significant? Think about this. Think about the word that your mom or dad shared with you when they put you to bed at night when you were a child. Maybe they read a little story to you, and then your mom or your dad said, "Good night. I love you. I'm proud of you." Now, if your mom or dad did that with you, even if it's been years and years since that happened, I'm guessing that you still hear that voice from time to time. When things are rough, when you're just struggling to get through, you still hear that voice from your mom or your dad that says, "I love you. I'm proud of you." Aren't the words that are spoken in those quiet moments the most significant in our lives? Or think of that conversation you have with that old friend, that friend that you've known for years and years and years, the friend who knows you through and still loves you, and you're getting coffee together and you're sitting at that corner table off by yourselves and you're talking as the hours go on and the conversation is so rich and good you don't want it to end. Isn't the conversations in those quiet moments the most significant? There's this lady I knew from my church in Texas. Her husband had died a few years before. I met her, never knew her husband, and I think he had cancer, and he had been sick for a while, and you know how it is with us guys, we men, we don't want to talk. And so he would put on a stiff upper lip. He wouldn't talk about his feelings, and he just didn't want to talk, and he didn't want to talk about the fact that he was dying, didn't want to talk about any of that. And so he was at the hospital the last few weeks of his life, and his wife said that people would come during the day to visit, and maybe they'd talk about the weather or sports or whatever, but that was kind of it. He wouldn't talk at least during the day, he wouldn't talk. But she said it was at night, when it was just the two of them, and they were sitting in a darkened hospital room kind of like this, when everyone else had left, when the sun had set, late in the evening when the hospital had gone quiet and it was just the two of them, then she said he would talk. And they'd talk about their love, and they'd talk about their family, and they'd talk about that he knew the time was short for him. And she said it was in the quietness and the stillness of the night when he could finally talk. Aren't the things that are said in the quiet spaces of life maybe the most significant to us? It's not the things that are pasted up big and bold on billboards that are the most significant in our lives. No, it's the words that are spoken in conversations like this one, that are spoken quietly with sincerity. I mean, these are the things that matter to us. I mean, some things are too heavy to be carried with a shout. They must be handled carefully with a quiet whisper. Some things are too important to put up big and bold on billboards. Instead, we speak them one-on-one with tenderness and gentleness. In Jesus' resurrection, while in the church here, we may do it up big and bold and loud and all, but in reality, when he was resurrected and he showed up to his followers, it's very quiet. He quietly speaks Mary's name to her, and then she knows he's alive. He quietly shows up along a road to two disciples and in a conversation, and then they know. He quietly shows up to Thomas and the other disciples to show them the truth that he is alive. And maybe he does it quietly because it's more significant and not less significant. Maybe he understands that the most important things are not what happens on a stage before others, but what happens in the quiet moments. So, sisters and brothers, can I tell you something? Beyond the Easter hoopla, and I love the Easter hoopla, I love the bright colors and the Easter dinner and the big music, and I love all of that, but beyond all of that, can I tell you something? Can I whisper something into your ear as I speak here through the microphone? I know you get discouraged. Each day is a tightrope walk trying to avert disaster, and many days we fall off that tightrope into the disaster. I know that you just, some days, just try to get by. And I know that you carry weights in your heart that maybe no one else knows, but they're there and they're heavy and you carry them every day. And I know the picture painted by our news media paints a bleak picture, wars or rumors of wars or national leaders that have forgotten how to be adults or just the reasons for discouragement, they are plenty in this world. But in the midst of all of that, and we all carry all of that in our hearts, in the midst of all of that, can I still whisper something in your ear? I don't want to shout it. I don't want to announce it with a brass band accompanying me. It's just between you and me. Ignore everyone else. It's the room's crowded, but it's between you and me here, just between us. And it's this. Jesus Christ is risen. Oh, thank you, thank you. If your faith is on shaky ground, if you feel like you're getting by on ounces and not pounds of faith, if you feel like maybe God's just checked out, let me just whisper in your ear, Jesus Christ is risen. Because what Jesus shows his followers when he quietly shows up is this, that there's no reason to give up on faith. There's no reason to throw your hope into the dumpster. Jesus Christ is risen, sisters and brothers. The death that would do him in is not the winner. The pain and hardships of this world, they are not the ultimate winner. God has started to renew all things through Jesus Christ. And Easter is the moment when the story starts to change because we are caught up in Jesus' life. His life is our life. His resurrection is our resurrection. Because he is alive, we live too. And hear that, not as the bluster of a preacher on the biggest church day of the year. Hear that not as one more loud advertisement shouted in your ear. Don't hear it as the sloganeering of a politician saying one thing in one moment and saying another thing the next moment. Hear it with the gentleness of a word spoken in love. Hear it with the tenderness of a quiet conversation with one you love as the lights grow dim and you say what's truly on your heart. Hear it just as Jesus' followers heard it on that very first Easter, quietly and with gentle love and hope. Jesus is risen. Thanks be to God. Amen.